Let's read together Psalm 7. In this psalm, David desires God's righteousness as the top priority, even if David himself was found to be guilty and had to be hurt by his enemies. Psalm 7, beginning at verse 1. O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who was at peace with me, or have plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yes, let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. So the congregation of the people shall surround you. For their sakes, therefore, return on high. The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Let's begin our study of this psalm, Psalm 7, with some background notes. We see from the title of Psalm 7 that David is the author of this psalm. Two other items of information are also included in the title of Psalm 7. We learn that this psalm is a Shagayan of David. What's that? It's a Hebrew word, but we don't know exactly what it means. But it probably means a song of lament in view of the fact that the title says David sang this psalm, and it is a psalm of lament expressing grief. The other item of information in the title of this psalm is the occasion. David sang this song to the Lord concerning Cush, a Benjamite. When and where and what the exact situation was, we don't know. This individual named Cush is not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. However, he was probably one of King Saul's hatchet men sent out to try and kill David when David was hiding from King Saul in the Judean wilderness. He was at least involved in slandering David. We see in verses 3 and 4, that David was falsely accused of some injustice, even accused of taking something by force. And verse 14 says that well-conceived lies were spoken against David. Notice from the title that Cush is a Benjamite from the same tribe as King Saul. It was men like Cush that David had in mind when he spoke to King Saul on two occasions in the wilderness, from 1 Samuel chapter 24, when David spared King Saul's life at En-Gedi. We read in 1 Kings chapter 24, David also arose afterward, went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, "My Lord the King." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eyes spared you, and I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.'" From 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 8 through 10. Cush was probably one of those who slandered David and told King Saul that David was out to harm the king. Verse 9 once again, "And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of men who say, indeed, David seeks your harm?'" And from 1 Samuel chapter 26, when David again spared King Saul's life in the wilderness of Ziph. We read in 1 Samuel 26, "Then Saul knew David's voice and said, 'Is that your voice, my son David?' David said, 'It is my voice, my lord, O king.' And he said, 'Why does my lord thus pursue his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore, please let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go serve other gods.'" From 1 Samuel 26, verses 17 through 20. Cush would have probably been one of those who was involved in slandering David, so that David was driven out of the royal courts. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Psalm 7. Doctrinal point number one, godly believers desire righteousness even if it brings hurt to themselves. Godly believers desire righteousness even if it brings hurt to themselves. We see in verses 1 and 2 that David has not only taken refuge in the wilderness to escape from those who are out to kill him, but he has taken refuge in the Lord. There's no greater refuge than refuge in God. Verses 1 and 2 once again. "O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me, and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver." Now in verses 3 through 5, we see that David is willing to be caught and killed if he is in the wrong. Verses 3 through 5, once again, "O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who was at peace with me, or have plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yes, let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust." Selah. Wow. Have you ever prayed like that? "Lord, if I'm guilty in any way in reference to this accusation that's being made against me, then I am willing to have justice served, even if it means I have to die." Such a position means two things. Number one, you've examined your actions and attitudes, and you are convinced before God that you are in the right, as completely as David was. Look at what David prays in verse 8. "Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me." And number two, you desire God's righteous standards to be upheld at all costs, even at the cost of your own reputation and honor, if you are guilty in any way. Not many people are willing to take that position, and that includes even believers. But godly believers desire righteousness even if it brings hurt to themselves. Doctrinal point number two, godly believers desire righteousness, which explains their cry for the hurt of others. Godly believers desire righteousness, which explains their cry for the hurt of others. Psalm 7 is the first of what are known as the imprecatory psalms. To imprecate means to curse. How are we to explain David's prayer in verse 6? "Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded." I thought godly believers were to turn the other cheek. Matthew 5:39. "And didn't the Lord also say, 'Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you?'" Yes, he did say that. Matthew 5:45. So how can David pray an imprecatory prayer like verse 6 and still be a godly believer? Answer: godly believers desire righteousness, which explains their cry for the hurt of others. Notice in this psalm that David is not seeking personal revenge. No, he is seeking righteousness. God's righteousness. Verses 9 through 11. "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. And if people do not repent of their unrighteousness, David approves of their judgment. Verses 12 and 13. If he does not turn back, God will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. Now, as to the prophetic implications of this psalm, the godly remnant of the last days will certainly call for the judgment of the Antichrist and his followers. Listen to the prayer of the tribulation martyrs in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. After David describes in verses 14 through 16 of Psalm 7, the way God catches the wicked in their own traps, he concludes the psalm with his heart's desire to see the righteousness of God upheld. Verse 17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Godly believers desire righteousness, which explains their cry for the hurt of others. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 7? Don't fall into your own pit. Don't fall into your own pit. Verse 15, he made a pit and dug it out and has fallen into the ditch which he made. And verse 16, his trouble shall return upon his own head and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. In context, these verses are describing the fate of many of the wicked. God allows them to catch themselves in their own traps. Is it not ironic that King Saul was killed by his own sword, the sword that he unrighteously directed against David? God has ways of allowing those who practice unrighteousness or those who tamper with justice to shoot themselves in the foot with a misstatement or a miscalculation. So it doesn't take much for God to bring down someone who is not practicing righteousness. But let's not just apply this biblical principle to others that we're thinking about right now. What about ourselves? Have we ever practiced unrighteousness? Have we ever badmouthed fellow believers unfairly? Have we ever schemed to have someone hurt in some way because of our dislike of them? Have we ever gloated when a prosperous Christian hits hard times because we have been jealous of their success? Obadiah verse 12 says, do not gloat over your brother's day of misfortune. Let's make sure we are practicing righteousness, because God has ways of bringing down those who are involved in wrongdoing. Don't fall into your own pit.